The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
2017 is going to be a volatile economic year. We may see politicians throughout the world attempting to control central bank policies. Several renowned financial analysts have warned that political interference in central bank policies may mean our economic misses of inflation and growth targets. Gold is an international currency that can't be issued or controlled by governments. If you don't have the only hard currency that has outlasted every politician and every failed idea of governments for centuries, you need to speak to Goldline right now and learn how easy it is to add gold to your portfolio or IRA. Now is the time to diversify your financial portfolio by adding gold. Call 1-800-913-GOLD. Buying real gold is easy and fast at Goldline. And you're going to be happy that you finally made the call. 1-800-913-4653. Goldline also offers price protection against short-term market fluctuations on qualifying purchases. So buy with confidence. Read Goldline's important risk information and find out if buying gold is right for you. Call Goldline. 1-800-913-4653.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Back from vacation. Thanks so much for joining us. Doc Thompson in the house. Cal's here. Chris is here. At the Blaze, Brad is here. Keith's here. The whole crew's finally back from vacation, getting it done. Tweets coming in. Hashtag what I learned today.
Chris's Covfefe beard tweeted, hashtag what I learned today. Hashtag on National Martini Day, Doc Thompson show likes his shaken, not stirred, by elderly men.
Okay, I'll give you that. It's legit.
Stinky Biscuit tweeted, even Geraldo's resorted to saying assault-type weapons instead of assault rifle when talking about AR-15.
Oh, yeah, that's another fail that I didn't even mention.
Yeah.
And there was a whole piece in there where he couldn't think of weapon. He said something that we didn't end up playing. Something about these tools of murder or death or
destruction.
Something like that. I was like, wow, Geraldo, I can't figure out if you're senile and couldn't think of the words. Or if you're just that progressive that you're going to use weapons or tools of death.
Tools of killing.
Right. That's what it was. It's completely biased. And again, just admit your bias. Lead with this stuff instead of pretending you're something else. Do you realize how much better it would be if we just admitted it up front?
Yeah. It would be a lot more respectable, at least.
Well, right. And you don't always have the forum to, you know... All right, and now the 20-minute disclaimer. This person believes this, but you don't have that.
These
but
are
if
not
you
the
just
views.
Admit who you are. I tell people all the time. I mean, friends out and about. You know, friends introduce me to somebody else. If you start talking politics, I'm like, listen, I'm conservative libertarian. There,
right, that's what I am.
Right, and that's cool. Just so you know, it's not bristle and like, just so you're not, you know, misled into believing something else. We're pretty obvious about it on this show, even though we're not a news program.
Right.
You know, we're not now the news.
I think we're pretty vocal about where we stand, though. It's not hidden or...
Well, and look at what MSNBC did forever. Lean forward.
Not left.
No.
All right.
It's forward. Run passionately to the left is what they were.
Mm-hmm.
Lean forward. You're trying to manipulate and lie to people. Just admit it. I would actually watch them more if they did that because I'm curious what their take is on it. Right. NPR, long drives over the past couple of weeks. So I listened to some NPR. Just, hey, let's find out what the left is saying about stuff.
Doing.
And I was more fascinated by this lie that they're unbiased. It's just completely attack Trump. Attack Trump.
Oh, yeah.
They're using terms. I heard a couple of them. Refer to Trump's team as all the president's men. Casually just going, well, when Trump's, you know, testifying or not testifying, but when he's speaking on the testimony before Congress or blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all the president's men are questioned, blah, blah. They just want this to be Richard Nixon. Oh, there's God, more yeah. out there. And then passionately going, when people have said, hey, this is a fishing expedition, they're like, what about the fishing expedition for Benghazi and whatever? Okay, there were some fishing expeditions. I've never said you shouldn't research. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't investigate. Of course you should. But to pretend that you're not doing it, or that you didn't have it, you know, a 180 when Obama was in, is the part that pisses me off.
Oh, yeah. The complete hypocrisy.
And NPR is doing this with our tax dollars and pretending they're unbiased.
Oh, it's such a...
So frustrating.
It drives me up the wall.
Joining us now, Jack. And Jack, I'm going to screw up your name. Go ahead and pronounce it for me.
Jack Posobiec, Doc. Good morning.
Posobiec, how are you, sir? Author of, from Citizens for Trump. How are you, sir?
Yeah, well, no, you're right. Actually, the organization and the name of the book is Citizens for Trump.
Oh, okay. Just want to make sure I got it right. I get sketchy notes sometimes from my producers. So, one of the reasons we had you on, you were with the group or helped protest that Julius Caesar play in New York, where, I mean, Caesar was really
right? I was the one who was screaming Goebbels would be proud.
What were you screaming? One more?
Goebbels would be proud.
Oh, Goebbels, nice.
Goebbels would be proud.
So
while my friend Laura actually stormed up the stage, and then last night there were three other people at three multiple times that stormed the stage.
Where was this being staged?
So this is out at Central Park, right about 86th Street, the sort of Shakespeare in the Park that they do, right there in Manhattan, Upper West Side.
Okay, and I think the play is done now. Last night was the last performance?
Last night was the last hurrah.
And it was, I mean, it's Trump, right? Explain how Trump-esque it was.
So yeah, there are people who are trying to say that oh, it's Julius Caesar and it's always done this way. Well, no. This was Donald Trump. I mean, orange hair, the big red tie, the wife who comes out, she has this extremely thick, very much mocking Melania's accent, kind of, hello, Julius, my husband, you know, almost like Boris and Natasha style. And there's Antifa stuff all through, like, scenery, and the stage crew is coming around chanting, this is what democracy looks like, as they, and hashtag resistance as they move the set pieces around. It's bizarre.
And what prompted you to say, okay, I want to be heard here?
Well, honestly, it was because I saw those images of this character played as the president, with these bloody stabbings. And at first I thought, you know what, that's a little bit, over the top, but hey, you know, it's theater, right? But then in the aftermath of the Steve Scalise shooting, when, all these congressmen were targeted, it kind of drove me up the wall to say there has been so much normalization of this stuff going on the left with Kathy Griffin and her, you know, ISIS-like propaganda film, and then this going on, and the violence we've been seeing in the streets. And I just kind of got sick of it, and I said, you know what, let's do something about this.
How were you received?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I'd say on the right, on the conservative side, people loved it. They said, finally, somebody's fighting back against this stuff. In the audience, it was funny. They were clapping and cheering the death of the president. But when we went up, they had boos and hisses, and I guess they didn't like my performance. I don't know.
Yeah, what did the meetup media write-ups have to say in New York about your performance? What did the Hollywood Reporter, what did they have to say?
Oh, they gave me a 1-star review. They said, oh, he must not have actually read the play. It's actually an anti-assassination play. And I'm like, no, there was more blood up on that stage than in a Tarantino film. I'm pretty sure what you were trying to do.
And you know what? And even if it was anti-assassination, the point is they're still putting him in that role because they secretly want this, or not so secretly want this.
Or they're
this.
Just pointing it out.
Yeah.
Well, they actually have written on the stage at one point, Trump's death. And we found that last night. It was written on one of the set pieces. So it didn't even say Caesar. It said Trump's death.
Jack, we're in a situation now. All things surrounding the play, the shooting in D.C., all of this is our rule number 5 here on the program. And that's just because you can doesn't mean you should. Yes, the people have the right to put on that play. Heck, I don't. I think you ought to be able to advocate the president's assassination. I don't think it should be illegal to do that. I mean, I believe in the First Amendment so much. But just because you can doesn't mean you should. And the same thing with Kathy Griffin. You can do that. I'm not even offended by jokes and this stuff. But should you be doing those things?
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing that comes around. It's very similar, I guess you could say, to the flag burning debate, in the sense of, you know, what is expression versus what is you know, just sort of seen as acceptable or, you know, above board for political discourse. And one thing that I've been trying to say on both sides, and we're actually holding a rally at the White House this Sunday on this, myself, a few other people that were involved, and we're saying it's an anti-political violence rally. And we're actually inviting people like Jake Tapper, Maxine Waters, Hillary Clinton, please, you know, Rachel Maddow, please come and stand with us against political violence against both the right and the left.
But I also have to ask you about your interrupting the play. Should you have done that?
Well, the way I look at it, you know, people brought it up as a free speech issue. And the way I look at it is I was adding my free speech to their free speech.
Was it a paid event? Did you have to pay to see the Shakespeare in the Park?
No, it was free. You had to get a ticket.
Okay, so you had to get a ticket. I mean, you're kind of borderline if you're like interrupting a performance there, free speech, time and place. I understand what you're saying there. I just, as much as I agree with your passion on it and your frustrations, I'm so tired of the bias there. I'm not sure that's the right way to do it. Because I think, well, first of all, I'm not sure you, did you accomplish anything?
Oh, absolutely. The amount of narrative shift that we've seen across the media, across both sides of this, I think we've definitely planted the flag to saying that the rhetoric has gotten too far. These graphic depictions of violence have gotten too far, especially in the wake of having a great guy, Steve Scalise, whose literally life is still hanging in the balance right now. You know, I think the honorable thing to do would have been to say, hey, you know what, we had a great run. These last three plays, we're going to cancel those, and we're going to set up a fund in his, you know, in for his medical bills or something like that.
And I agree with some of that. I think you're right. That would have been wonderful. And the hypocrisy of the left. I mean, these people are incredible with the hypocrisy. It's almost like the past does not exist. But I have to challenge you on that. Did you say the same thing? Were you just as frustrated with people who hung the nooses with Obama? Although not to the same level, were you frustrated by those?
I think that kind of stuff is repugnant. I don't see what that adds to political discourse. I don't see what anyone gets out of that. It's also in a different context. We haven't had the mainstream media for, you know, 2 years at this point, calling Trump Hitler, saying that Trump is going to destroy the world, almost advocating to be so violently against Trump. That the same thing wasn't there for Obama. So the stuff with the news, it was just stupid. I think it's dumb. I think any kind of political discourse, if you're going to be having it, you know, disagree with the ideas, fine, but don't advocate for killing.
Right. And like I said, I'm passionate about people speaking. Listen, if you think they got to be shot, speak your mind. I don't agree with it, but I'm passionate about people speaking their mind. Again, it's just, should you do this? I'm trying to find any other differences, Jack, between now and when Obama, you brought up a good point about the media. You're right. I mean, the media is obviously primarily progressive. We know that. And although there were a lot of people that said, hey, Obama's being dictatorial in the things that he's done, he's been very dictator-esque. The media was not behind it the same way. It was mainly Tea Party groups, and the only exposure they really got was in their own circles.
Yeah, and exactly. So context is key here to all of this. I mean, you can't look at it in a vacuum. I went to every single Tea Party rally they had. I went out to many of the 9/12 rallies back in the mm-hmm. day, led by a certain interesting character. And I don't remember anyone calling for violence. It was all about love of country. It was about patriotism. It was about standing up for your fellow man. There wasn't any type of this, you know, call to action, call to violence. And in the wake of such violence, like, you know, take 9/12 as an example, it was about coming together. It wasn't about, you know, let's go kill Al-Qaeda, even though, I mean, obviously that happened.
You know what? That's a good point. Is there a difference between the people that are active now standing against Trump and the right and Republicans and the people that were part of Tea Party standing against Obama and Democrats and progressives and liberals in the message? Is there a greater message now of violence and doing wrong, as opposed to the Tea Parties were primarily, let's do things different the way we thought they should be done was the right way? I didn't see, I mean, there were exceptions, but I didn't see in mass people saying, let's do the wrong things.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, you can go back and look at the clip of Loretta Lynch talking about how saying we need more blood in the streets, or Tim talking about how we need to fight Trump in the streets. Tim Kaine, whose own son is a member of Antifa, is convicted now. professors out in Berkeley attacking Trump supporters with bike locks in the streets and then, you know, getting arrested for it. So, you know, this message of violence on the other side is basically what we're calling against versus the Tea Party. And I read about this in my book, For Trump. I see the Tea Party was really, you know, kind of the precursor of this populism, this rise of nationalism in America, and saying, no, we want to take our country back, not that we want to shun or destroy the other side, you know, physically, but, you know, rhetorically and at the ballot box, sure.
Jack Posobiec. Did I get it right?
Yes.
Okay. Posobiec, author of Citizens for Trump. Jack, how can people find you on social media?
Just my name, Jack Posobiec, J-A-C-K-P-O-S-O-B-I-E-C, on Twitter. Or if you go to Amazon, Citizens for Trump is my book. It's right there. I've been out for a week. Amazing sales. Just loving. It's a chronicle of, it's not about Trump. It's about the movement that elected him.
Posobiec, spelled P-O-S-O-B-I-E-C.
You got it.
All right. I got the spelling right anyways, Jack. All right. Thanks, Jack. Appreciate you joining us. And we'll tweet out a link to it as well. Just so the names just kill me, Cal.
It's challenging. I think you do all right with it.
Don't patronize me. You do not.
Yeah, you're horrible at it. You're really, really, really bad. If I told you my name, you probably, and I mean, I've told you how my name is pronounced, but if I just spelled it out for you, you'd probably butcher it.
Cal. It's three letters.
The real name. The full. That's Cal's a nickname.
It's Khaled.
Well, you know, because I've told you. If I do K-H-A-L-E-D.
Khaled.
Well, yeah, because you know. If you didn't know, you'd be calling it.
I don't think so. I think I'd get that one right.
No, I don't think you would.
Probably not.
No.
I think people just need normal names.
What's a normal name?
Like Bob and Mike and Steve. I mean, you know, these are normal names.
Those are normal names?
Exactly. Because I mean, they're Western white names. They're normal names.
Exactly.
All right, quick break, back with more on The Morning Blaze.
This is The Morning Blaze with Dot Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Tweets coming in, hashtag what I learned today. We had another terrorist attack last night in London.
Well, there was one in Mali, an actual shooting in Mali, I believe at a resort. Some jihadists went in, started shooting people, took some hostages and stuff. But I think they're still waiting on details of, you know,
what the motivations were.
And
would you classify what happened last night in London a terrorist attack? Possibly. The mayor came out right off and called it a terrorist attack. What happened was a guy was driving along and drove past a mosque where people were getting
after
out.
After evening prayer.
Yeah, and you're just during Ramadan.
Uh-huh.
And just drove through the crowd.
Yeah, mowing them down with the car.
Do we know how many died? I think there was at least one.
I think one and lots of injured. And then there was
he jumped out of the car then.
And the people grabbed him, yeah.
They grabbed him, and he was saying, you deserve this. Yeah. You people deserve this, something like that. Speaking about Muslims because of the people driving through crowds and terrorism. Yeah. Is this a terrorist attack?
I would say it is. Yeah.
It's quite... The term terrorism or terrorist attack is really kind of a loose one.
It is, yeah. I mean,
you could find definitions... But even those are a little bit loose. You can adjust them. It doesn't have to have every element. Usually there is a political nature to it. Usually you want to create terrorism above and beyond just the injury. Mm-hmm. You're making a statement. It's certainly what some would classify a hate crime.
Yeah.
Something like that.
People definitely.
Not all hate crimes are terrorism, but is all terrorism a hate crime?
No, I don't think so.
So there's... See, it's loose.
Yeah. It's a difficult situation to define.
I would certainly say we could put this guy driving into the Muslims last night in England in the same vein. even if you don't classify it the same way, it's still absolutely wrong. And the guy's still doing it for political reasons because he hates these people.
Right.
What did they do? They didn't do anything to him.
To him, it doesn't matter. Just like, I guess, the same as the terrorists. It doesn't matter.
You right.
You think they're going around killing innocent people because they think that they've done something to
them? Right. This is the same as the goofball, the Hodgkinson, who shot Steve Scalise.
Right.
It's the same attitude. What are you doing? There's a level of crazy to this that we're not talking about.
There's also that girl in Virginia. It was a horrible story. Oh. A girl was walking with a friend. She was wearing hijab. She was a Muslim girl.
Mm-hmm.
And some nut job hopped out of a car, started swinging a bat.
He was yelling at the group of kids. And I don't know. I don't know if he was white. I think he's had like a Hispanic last name, but he wasn't Muslim.
No.
And so they got into it, but everybody scattered, and he took a baseball bat and killed her.
He somehow grabbed her and kidnapped her, took her somewhere because they found her body somewhere else.
But we don't know what the motivations were. It could have been based on her faith. Maybe not. It could have been anything. But this is hate, folks, and it's not motivated by simply right or wrong, left or right. There's an element of crazy if you can do this type of stuff to anybody. And it is exclusively the responsibility to not do it of the person who did it. It's on all of us.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network. Thompson.
All right, so I have some news to share. I think my wife already shared it online. I don't know if you follow her accounts. She's in social media all over the place. But yes, my wife is pregnant. We got the news, and she went ahead and shared it. And
wait a minute. I distinctly remember you saying that that window is shut. That window's closed, sealed tight. No way you're going to open that window again. It's boarded up.
Here's the thing.
Yeah? Tell me about the thing, because I'm not familiar with the thing. I haven't heard about the thing.
See, I thought the window was closed.
Oh, you did you?
Yeah. I looked over. Window was closed, shut tight, blinds drawn.
Boarded up.
In fact, there was no window left. It was done. There were no windows at all.
Put some sheetrock on it. Put some shelves in front of it.
Apparently, she opened the window.
Oh, she did?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. So I guess the window wasn't completely shut and sealed.
No, no.
Remember when you were giving me a little bit of flack about the kibosh?
Because you put the kibosh on it.
Because I put the kibosh on it.
And that didn't work either.
Yeah, the wife just kind of, deflected the kibosh.
Both the kibosh and closing the window are ineffective methods of birth control.
Yeah, no,
thank you for letting me know, guys.
Yeah, it's good to know, right?
Don't do that.
Chris, when you are trying not to get pregnant, don't close the window and don't attempt to use the kibosh.
You know, one thing I want to point out was that when you were closing the window.
Yeah, I was closing the window.
You were saying a lot about your age and the window's getting narrower and narrower, and you were like really secured on yourself that the window was like,
I would say, quite vehemently closing that window.
So I don't know if this is like a I think you might have like a good job.
You know how sometimes you close the window,
right?
But there's a little crack that you didn't get.
Yeah, it's very drafty.
You thought you closed it, and then all of a sudden you're like, "Why is it cold in here? What? I thought I closed the window.
I didn't get it all the way.
You didn't get it all the way.
Sometimes that's kind of what happens.
That's what happened
when
here.
You close the window. There's a little thing on the top
latch that
lock it up.
You didn't lock it.
Did you lock it?
Some people think I'm getting old. Some people think that.
No, not some people. Think, guys. You are old.
Some people may think, hey, you know, you're a little too old to be having kids, you know, and whatnot.
Oh, well, yeah, that is true.
Lots of guys have that. Because for us guys, we're constantly going. You know, our boys are constantly swimming. So it's completely natural for a guy like you in his 70s to have a kid, you know.
No, it's 75.
Some people think I'm getting too old to have kids, and some of those people include me. if it were not for the age, it's more about the money. Like, I'm thrilled she is. It's like, but I got to pay for this child, and I want to be able to...
You're starting to add up in
your head. To pick him up, you know, and carry him around without going, okay, I got the walker in one arm and trying to whatever.
I just bought a double stroller. Have you ever had to buy a double stroller?
No, but I will be.
I'm that guy now. You know how much that costs? I'm not going to tell you how much that costs. I don't want to worry
you. So when this new kid is born and this new kid turns 18, how old are you going to be?
90, 90.
I know you love to do math.
Carry the
and
one.
And when we're talking about your age, you love.
And 3 4.
I don't love. I just can't stop doing the numbers.
So
there's a fraction in there somewhere.
At 18 years from whenever he's going to be born, how old are you going to be?
9 2 1. Carry
trying to figure it out.
Subtract by.
So figure it out.
The root of pi.
Okay, damn it.
And
how?
I will be close to retirement. And by that, I mean
60.
I'll be close to retirement age, but nowhere near retiring.
No.
I'll be in my mid-60s.
Wow.
That sounds better than saying such an ass.
Wow.
So here's what happened.
You're going to need a whole lot of relief factor.
I'm stocking up.
And Brick House.
Oh, and definitely Brick House. The energy, yeah.
So you're here's what happened.
Dawn to dusk.
So I'm a little older than my wife. About 10 years.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so we meet and we get married and she's like, well, I want to have kids. And I have a son who's going to be 15 in a couple days. And he lives in Cleveland with his with the ex. And great kid. But I said to the wife, I'm like, we're going to have kids. We got to do this right away.
We need to knock these out of the park now.
Right. Which she was like, well, you know, my career and I got to move. And I'm like, clock's ticking, window's closing. Right. So we have Cubby. Cubby's 2.5. Everything's great. Wonderful. And I tell her, I go, if you want any more, we got to do this, you know, right off.
That's right.
Get this thing done.
Yeah.
She said, okay. Well, my career and I want to get a whatever. So she goes, how about we just stop like trying to avoid it?
See, that's how they get you. That's how mine got me.
Right.
And you're thinking, okay, wait a minute. We're not
you make it sound
actively,
like it's like a trap, like a
it
bear
is a trap. Because, you're not actively trying to.
You're not trying to avoid it.
That's like, you know, I'm in a cage with a really hungry lion, and I'm not afraid of it.
You know what I mean? I'm not sure the analogy worked, but the viciousness of the lion
I'm not afraid. Yeah. So that means I am afraid.
Right.
So I'm not trying to get pregnant.
She said,
which
I'm
means
not trying.
You and are trying to get pregnant.
Right. And I said, okay. But it's been 2.5 years.
2.5 years? Okay.
Since he was born. And I got to the point where I was like, stupidly, like just not communicating with her. In my mind, I was like, oh, we're getting, but I wasn't trying to avoid. Like I said, I'm thrilled she's pregnant, but I am worried about the money.
Yeah,
right.
It's the exact same thing.
When you say you're thrilled for something, there's
you
never
don't say
a but.
Yeah. I'm just worried about the money. But I'm always worried, even if I was 10 years younger, I'd be worried about the money.
This is what we do.
So, but in my mind, I'm going, okay, we have stopped avoiding it, you know, or stopped avoiding the birth control, and okay, here we are. It's been about a year and a half. So in my mind, like in the back of it, I'm thinking, oh, we've closed the window.
You're past the window.
No, we didn't close the window. The window closed.
Automatically.
Right. Okay. We had the window closed. Birth control. Let's stop avoiding it. We'll open the window.
And see what happens. And a year of nothing happening. You were like, oh, okay. So we're past it now.
Right, because I'm a little older, you know, and you have to worry about health things or whatever, too.
No.
And so I was just, I had kind of set in my mind, oh, it's not going to happen. And then she was like, guess what?
It happened.
Look here. Can you see? It's just a plus or a minus on this little stick here.
Is that how she found out?
Huh?
The home test kit?
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't like I mean, this one was like neon flashing
money.
Little dollar. They should replace the little plus sign with the dollar sign. Ching, 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 ching.
I always. And
by the way, it's triplets, $3 signs. Quadruplets, $4 signs.
Oh, God. And I always ask myself when it happened, I was like, how did I get here? Because it feels like.
You mean the bees and the birds conversation?
No, not that part. But I remember the conversation of us like, all right, let's give it another shot. And then. You're kind of like, it's hazy. Did I say yes? I guess I said yes.
You know what I look at
and
it
then
like?
And you say, okay, then all of a sudden it's here and it happens. You're like, how did that happen?
You know what this is like? This is like working for a restaurant and you're like, oh, I'm going to get a meal. Just put it on my tab and then deduct it from my check.
Right. And then you get the check.
And you're like, whoa, wait a minute. So you're paying later for the thing that you enjoyed before.
Right.
So I'm like,
cost you.
Right. It's like, oh, wow, I got to pay for all of that.
It's
wow.
Like a credit card.
My son, Milo, was an oops baby. Oops, you're pregnant.
Okay.
That's.
No. So you didn't plan it.
You didn't close the window or you didn't put the kibosh?
There was
kibosh,
not nothing on there. It was more like, oh, so that's how you make a baby.
I guess they were right about that. I didn't believe them.
My boys can swim.
So when is your wife due? August?
Mid-August, yeah.
Mine's early December.
Ooh. How early in December?
Early, yes. What are you thinking?
My birthday?
No, I wasn't thinking your birthday. Yes, I was like, please, Lord, please let it Chris Cruz's birthday. No, I was thinking
Christmas, baby.
No,
quadruple the amount of presents.
No,
we're not on sync, sorry. You were on
tax break.
Oh, get it in this year?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I'm like tax break. I need the extra.
We lost some syncness. You were off for
talking about the money, by the way. So the wife is showing a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit.
Really?
She thinks she's showing more than she is. And I think that's the reason she didn't know she was being hit on.
By whom?
We're on the little tram at Disney, taking it from one place to another, and it's packed.
Some guy, seriously? Perv with his own family just comes up and he starts...
A lady from the... I'm guessing lady. From the Isle of Lesbos.
Oh, really?
So it's packed, right? I'm staying. I got the stroller. I got all this stuff. My mom's there. Everybody's there. And this lady's like, here, have a seat.
To you with the stroller?
No, to my wife.
Oh, well, that's not
now,
nice.
Now, my mom, who is in her late 70s.
Elderly.
Was standing there. She did not offer the seat to my mom. She offered it to my wife.
Well, your wife probably looks pregnant.
She doesn't look that pregnant. My wife was like, oh, that's so nice of her because I'm pregnant. And I was like, no.
That's not why she...
Because then she got into this whole long cut because my wife loves Disney. And she's like, oh, and they have the Avatar ride now and the whole park, Pangea or whatever
Pangea.
It's called.
Yeah.
Pandora. And my wife's like, it's great. And the woman's like, really? And the woman's pretty butch.
She was.
And by herself. And
short
I'm like,
hair.
And I'm just sitting there listening
sleeveless
to this.
Flannel.
And she's just gushing over my wife. Oh, and you blah. And just talking. And I'm like, she's hitting on you. And my wife has no clue.
Did she say like, how's your marriage? Did she ask her that?
No, but she was kind of boxing me out.
Really?
Like she was like kind of moving in front of me.
Excuse me, buddy. Let me just see that.
So you're telling me that the Thompson family got hit both ways?
Yes. Yes, you're right. I hadn't thought about that.
Wow.
And I didn't even tell my, I forgot to tell my wife that she was being hit on. I was like, I got to tell her this later and just completely forgot about
it. I'll isolate this audio and send it to her.
And it was a long tram and the woman was just
going on and on.
Just, and I was just like, wow. The only thing she's doing is like giving her her digits or something. It was incredible.
This is a funny tweet from Tesla's Coil. Doc Thompson was supposed to provide the procrastination numbers, but instead gave us the new numbers on procreation.
You know what? I'll give those tomorrow. New numbers on procrastination tomorrow. By the way, I got to tell you about Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory. It's helping thousands of Blaze audience members and many Blaze employees alleviate their chronic pain and even their non-chronic pain, your reoccurring pains from injuries or if you have repetitive motions like you run or something like I do. Most pain is a symptom of inflammation in our bodies. And if you're taking the narcotics that they prescribe, it's potentially doing other things to your body, things that are not so good. There's other problems that come with it. And if you're doing that, you're just masking the pain anyways. Relief Factor alleviates the pain by alleviating the inflammation naturally. It's worked for me. It's worked for Brad, Cal, Chris,
definitely.
Keith, all kinds of people here. You can get a three-week quick start pack for just $19.95. Just go to ReliefFactor.com. It's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It's Relief Factor.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Oh, right. righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. The end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. We learned it's only acceptable to drive a bus to buy booze if the kids are paying.
Obviously. I mean, come on, don't be a jerk about it.
We learned before every vacation, Chris Cruz will now provide a guide called How Not to Inadvertently Pick Up a Gay Prostitute in a Public Restroom.
He's well schooled in these things. Yes, he knows.
We learned Orlando sucks. We learned the hard way again. We learned the kibosh and closing the window are ineffective methods of birth control.
Taking those singles. Learned that the hard way, too.
And finally, we learned, is that a sea creature in your pocket or... Oh, it's a sea creature.
Sea creature. Looks a lot like a penis.
Cal, Spin of the Dials, Radio Style Dials, Text Morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
Doc left the window open and the draft got his wife pregnant.
Yep. It happened.
I also learned that if I ever get into a fight with a pig, I need to remember to wear gloves and a cup. Two important things.
Yeah, that's right.
And finally, I learned Doc has a very wide stance at the urinal.
Apparently, I have a really, really wide stance on vacation, when I'm closing the window.
Parking a car.
Absolutely.
At the urinal.
Kirk, Spinning the Dials, Radio Style Dials, Text today. What, if anything, did you learn today?
What I learned today, apparently, when Doc's out, I'm the leak, and Doc knows exactly how to get it out of me. Public restroom footsie.
That's right. And I don't think I was supposed to out you, though.
Yeah. That was part of the meeting on the dressing room.
Sorry, that's my bad. Yeah. You know, now they're going to give you a blanket party later on. You're going to have to pay.
It's over.
Chris Cruz, what, if anything, do the listeners learn today?
Eric King learning Relief Factor opening all kinds of windows.
All kinds of them.
Rick Grinner also learning what I learned today. In 9 months, Doc will wish he'd made an extra $10.
Yeah, that's true.
It's true. I'm going to be looking for that $10.
I may be trolling in the future. Hey,
you're trying to make everything.
You ready to get this going? I have another meeting.
I got a kid on the way. I got to get this done.
$10. I'm going to put a sign out.
DM and DM also learning, Doc, you got to stop singing Macho Man at the urinal.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Macho Man.
Sleeve did it. Also tweeting out, if your girl's track star has a mustache, you're doing it wrong, or she's Italian.
Oh, that could be
that too.
Yeah, if she's not Italian... Then she's transsexual.
Then she's a man. It's plain and simple. She's actually a man.
Keith Jones also learning, Doc Thompson needs another vacation. The last one didn't take.
Yeah.
No, I'm more angry now.
You are. You're very agitated.
And I like this one, Dead Last TMB listener. Doc needs to just admit he is really like Chris Cruz.
Maybe you are.
No, because I wasn't trolling him. He was trolling me.
Whoa, are you saying that I troll? Okay.
I tell you
in the secret.
You know what? Perhaps we just move on.
You were the texter.
By the way, I didn't get those new numbers on procrastination.
Unbelievable.
Brad printed it out for you.
I know. You mixed up
procrastination with procreation. And
I'll
you got
do it
the
tomorrow.
Wrong
what
out,
else do we have coming up tomorrow?
We're talking with the author of a book on remasculating millennials. Getting the de-wussifying.
Good luck with that. Yeah. What does Glenn have coming up on his program?
Oh, you know, a wide variety of cutting-edge, hard-hitting, compelling topics that affect Americans and conservatives everywhere.
What's he wearing today? I haven't seen him at all.
Determination. He's putting out an aura.
An
aura of determination.
I don't know if that's good. I haven't seen him yet. Remember the Morning Blaze of today, a Chris Cruz production. Sic Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anya, now, you go home. By the way, did Brad do that while I was gone? Do the whole show close?
I didn't really pull it off.
You should go back and listen to it.
Did it fail?
Oh, he tried.
We tried.
Five times.
Yeah, A for effort. A for effort.
Well, that isn't how we roll here. You get the job done or not.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson. Part of Generation Blaze. On the Blaze Radio Network.